WRLL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Friday, May 5th. Coming up, we'll learn more about the history of the University of Illinois' Japan House as they mark the 25th anniversary in their current location with a festival this weekend. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. There were more than 3,000 deaths caused by the opioid overdoses in Illinois in 2021, according to the State Department of Public Health. The grim toll has led some state Democrats to push bills tackling the opioid crisis. Senator Laura Ellman's proposal would require all public high schools to include lessons on the dangers of fentanyl in health courses by the fall of 2024.
Our work to address this crisis is not over. Educating people of all ages on the dangers of potential overdose is an effective way to help save lives and combat overdoses long term.
Another bill would expand access to fentanyl testing strips for public health providers, and a third bill would require large music venues to carry overdose reversal medicine like naloxone. All three measures await a final vote in the Senate. The Illinois House greenlights a measure to ensure generic prescription drug manufacturers don't gouge prices. Alex Degman reports.
Democratic State Representative Nabila Syed's proposal says wholesalers and manufacturers cannot suddenly raise prices on generic drugs sold in Illinois. The state's attorney general would investigate gouging complaints and could send the drug makers to court, where they would need to explain why they raised prices and could be forced to pay restitution to people who overpaid. Syed says people cannot afford unexplained price hikes.
I think people recognize that there are seniors, especially seniors in our state, that are struggling, and this bill is a step in the right direction to make sure that we're taking care of them.
The measure would also force companies to pay up to $10,000 a day for each violation. The measure now moves to the Senate. I'm Alex Degman.
This Saturday, Black University of Illinois students will hold a Freedom Walk to celebrate Black joy. Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick has more.
Last month, Black Students for Revolution received dozens of death threats and racial slurs in response to a survey on how to better recruit and retain African-American students. Political science major Kennedy McClinton says they are routinely targeted.
Someone had mentioned to us that if we got an Illini alert for how many hate crimes that happened towards Black students, we would get them nonstop.
6% of the university's student population is Black. That's why McClinton says it's important for Black students to be seen in large groups.
We want to let the university know that it's okay for Black students to take up space.
The 2 p.m. walk starts at the Bruce Nesbitt Cultural Center and ends at the Illini Union, where there will be poetry, music, and speeches. Reginald Hardwick, Illinois Newsroom.
U of I student journalist Ariana Williams helped report this story. On Thursday, members of the Urbana community had a chance to ask questions to the candidate who is likely to become the next chief of police. Illinois Newsroom's Luis Velasquez has more.
Larry Boone is the sole finalist for the position. He previously served as chief of police in Norfolk, Virginia. Mayor Diane Wolf Marling has appointed two chiefs in her tenure, both of which were internal candidates.
And this is our first external candidate for chief in about 20 years in Urbana, so we wanted to make sure that people had an opportunity to meet the candidate.
Marlin says community input is an important component of hiring any police chief because of the nature of the job and the importance of having community trust in the hiring process. I'm Luis Velasquez, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll learn more about a festival happening at Japan House at the University of Illinois this weekend. That story is next on 217 Today.
In season one of the British mystery series Before We Die, Detective Inspector Hannah Lang and crime matriarch Dubravka Mimica both lived through traumatic losses of their own. In season two, Dubravka takes revenge while Hannah continues her work to take down Mimica's criminal enterprise. This series is packed with high stakes and unexpected twists. Learn how you can watch this and other international mysteries as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. Japan House at the University of Illinois will soon be hosting their annual Matsuri Festival. The early May event will be a celebration of Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, and mark the house's 25th anniversary in their current location. As Sarah Bond of the Illinois Student Newsroom reports, the Japan House story began nearly 60 years ago in the apartment of a man named Shozo Sato.
Hi. Who are you?
Caroline.
There's Caroline.
Every Wednesday afternoon, about 20 University of Illinois students arrive at Japan House for the class Introduction to Japanese Aesthetics. Sydney Nielsen did Japan House's internship program this past fall. She's excited to be taking this class as part of her minor in Japanese Arts and Aesthetics.
The ikebana, how you write ikebana in Chinese or Japanese character.
We explored a kind of an introduction to different Japanese aesthetics in the internship program, but this one every week kind of focuses on a different traditional art for a longer period of time. So we kind of get more of an in-depth approach and kind of more of a hands-on experience also to taking this class.
Jennifer Gunji-Bulzard is the director of Japan House. She says that in 1964, Shozo Sato was living in Japan when he was invited to teach at the University of Illinois. Sato was able to teach all of his crafts on campus except for tea ceremony because the setup was too difficult. He converted a room in his apartment into a tea room and taught out of his own residence. That is, until Morton Weir, a university administrator, heard about what was going on and offered Sato an old Victorian house for teaching.
And they renovated the entire first floor into three amazing tea rooms. And it really was magical. You would open this big, heavy Victorian door and you would walk in and suddenly you felt like you were in Japan.
Sato taught out of this original Japan house until 1992, when the university asked for the land back and told Sato he no longer had a house to teach from. Professor Kimiko Gunji is the former director of Japan House. She took over for Sato after he retired. She says that the university offered new land, but did not offer other help.
University was saying that, okay, we have place, land, that we could use. However, we cannot help any financial situation because you cannot just say we are going to support Japan House program. Then any other country going to have the same things, right?
Diana Liao is the Education and Engagement Specialist at Japan House. She says that Gunji has a deep passion for teaching and that she's a great inspiration for many students.
And I've actually met students who are much older than me who have been studying for decades, and they always say, you know, no matter what they do in life, they always say the most inspirational thing that really affected their perspective on life was taking one of Professor Gunji's classes.
Gunji Balzrud says that though Professor Gunji did a lot of fundraising, she had to continue Gunji's work when she took over as director just over 10 years ago. Gunji Balzrud says that until recently, there was always a threat of Japan House shutting down. But Gunji Balzrud worked with the current university dean to establish Japan House as a public good last fall. This means that Japan House is now recognized formally as something that serves the entire university and community. Japan House's budget now comes from the university's provost office instead of entirely through donations, gifts, and outside salaries. Gunji Balzard says that now, Japan House strives to interact with the campus and community and to share traditional Japanese arts and culture. Japan House will soon be celebrating their 25th anniversary on their current property. They also have a Matsuri Festival coming up on Saturday, May 6th. I'm Sarah Bond, Illinois Student Newsroom.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 77 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Alex Stegman, Reginald Hardwick, Ariana Williams, Luis Velasquez, and Sarah Bond. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.